How shall we do? He's panicking. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. So here, stop for a second and just think about. One guy sees an army and he sees doom. And the other guy, Elisha, sitting back there saying, no worries, no worries, we outnumber them. And he only sees two of them. He says, they that are with us are more than they that we with them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. One of them was already able to see something, had a vision, and he was praying that his servant would also see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw now. And behold, the mountain was filled full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now go to Isaiah 55. We usually live by our own sight. We usually see only what the world sees. But God has given us another viewpoint. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Aren't you glad? Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And boy, that's very frustrating. It's like, Lord, don't you understand what I think you ought to do? The Lord says, your ways are not my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think he has a different viewpoint than we do. Amen. I think when you get up and you can look down, you can actually see a whole lot better than when you're just down on the ground and you're struggling from day to day. God has another viewpoint. And I love this verse. I couldn't believe when I found it. Job 34, verse 32 says, that which I see not, teach thou me. A young man named Elihu was sitting right next to Job and watching the debate and the frustration level of Job and the frustration of his three friends. And he stands there and he says, well, what I don't see, I want to learn. That's a great prayer. Great thing to ask God. Now, that's a desire that every one of us ought to have is, Lord, what I don't see, just like that Elisha's servant, what I can't see, would you help me see? How do you see what God sees? Well, a couple of things come to mind and actually that I put into practice. One is you need to hear God's Word. You got to start with the Bible. You can't start with prayer. You can't start with meditation. You can't start with going on a retreat. You've got to start with the Word of God. Staying in Isaiah, look at chapter 55 and verse 10 now. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God wrote this book for a reason. God wrote His Word because it's going to do something. You better be in His Word to find out what He's doing. God never calls you outside of His Word. I believe God's called me to be a belly dancer. I've got the belly. You better watch it. Okay, no, you implied me. No, God's not going to call you outside of His Word. Does that make sense? All right? Somebody says, well, God told me I should stay home on Sunday. He did not. God told me that that I don't need to tithe to this church. I can tithe to Benny Hinn, or I can tithe to somebody in UK. God doesn't tell you that. He tells you according to His Word. So you must start there. If you want to hear God, God says you better hear my Word. So if you want to see what God can see, start with that book. As a matter of fact, you know what this book is? It's alive. You say, well, it's just a bunch of words on a page. Those words, every time I read it, they seem to change. Anybody ever notice that? There are words in there that weren't there last time I read it. It's like I never saw something, and there it was. That's how God's Word is written. You better listen here. Secondly, you need to seek God's face. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. This is a biblical phrase. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. What does that mean? Let's look at Luke chapter 9 in verse 51. Luke chapter 9, 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, put on the cross, he steadfastly set his what? To go to Jerusalem. Verse 52, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and they entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him. They didn't want him to stay because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So if you could meet him, you would have seen Jesus like this. And people would say, Jesus, come over here and help my mom. And his face was, can't come today, I'm sorry. And they're like, why aren't you even looking at us in the eye? Jesus, why aren't you paying attention to us? And he says, I've got to get to Jerusalem. That's where I've got to be. And everybody was upset at Jesus because he wasn't really there. Now, here's the point. If you want to hear God's words, you better find out where God is moving. Because sometimes he's not interested in where you're at. He's interested in you getting where he's at. He has a direction. He has a focus. And he's trying to get us to look the same direction and go, oh, that's where I need to be. Third, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You ought to have this memorized. You need to allow God to lead and direct. How many of us follow our hearts? How many of us respond to the tug of the heart? Most of us. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I can't trust my heart, but I get my heart to trust Him. Lean not on thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, which means obey Him, and He shall direct thy path. What does God need from us if we're going to hear His voice, see what He sees? Be willing to allow Him to lead and to ask you to do what you don't want to do. I find in my Christian life, most people love the will of God until it includes them. Because God's will is almost never what you want it to be. So, allow God to lead. Allow, if you want to hear God to show you, you want God to show you what He sees, allow Him to lead. Allow Him to direct your life. And then God will say, hey, I'll show Him what I'm trying to do here. Fourthly, get busy doing His will. A lot of people, I remember going to Bible college and everybody's talked about the will of God constantly. I don't know what God's will is. I want to find God's will. Amen. But you know, they're talking about some will of God out in the future. You better be doing God's will today. Most of you are. You're in church tonight. That's God's will. You get up in the morning, you don't say, what is God's will? I want to know God's will for my life. Whether I should change careers. Whether I should get married. Hey, God's will is, get into the Bible, spend time in prayer, worship God, confess your sins, become a witness all day long, seek opportunities for you to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God will show you the big things on the way. Be doing His will, and then learn every step of the way. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace. You know what grace is? You know, grace is not somebody. Not somebody that's down the road. Grace is where you're put in situations that you don't like. You don't grow in intelligence. You don't grow in ability. You grow in grace where you learn to tolerate and put up with and even enjoy the hard times. Because I'll say it this way, God's ways are not our ways. God's will is not what we want. So, learn every step. Grow as the Lord turns you another direction and shows you this is where I want you. This is what I want you to do. And as a church, isn't that what we want? For God to show us where we ought to be? Then we need to learn with every step and say, I need to grow in this grace now. I need to rejoice in God in this situation. Not where I want to be. I tell you where I'd want to be. I'd want to be in the Q&Z building last year. I'd want to be in all kinds of different situations. But I know God's will is better. And then lastly, accept the stretching that it involves. 2 Corinthians 1:8. So the right 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And I don't think that's right. Is it 1:8? Yeah, sorry. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant? Yes, this is it. We don't want you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Kerguelen. You know, you can personalize your Bible and fit your feet into these shoes. He said, we don't want you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. We were squished. Above strength, insomuch that we what? Despaired even of life. You know, Paul's not complaining. He's not saying, oh, and I can't tell you how many times I quit that day. He didn't say that. He just said, it was something we faced. And I accept the stretching. I have never learned like I learn when I'm pushed beyond what I know and what I can handle. And that's where I lean upon the grace of God. What am I showing you? This is how God speaks to His servants. You don't go to a cave and go, God, 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 I'm listening. That's not how you talk to God. You're going to have to spend some time agonizing, struggling, saying, God, I don't want this. God, this isn't what I want. This is not what I find easy. God, I don't understand. Amen, amen. That's how you pray. And God says, okay, now you're ready for me to show you the next step. So, let me tell you what I see. I sit back and I dream and I try to get a vision of where we're at. I see a lot of lost people. I hate sometimes going to DeKalb City and I'll walk and it'll just hit me. I go into Mahon Point, and I'll go in with Sarah, go in with Nita, whatever, and they're just thousands of people. And I feel absolutely helpless. I mean, if I started to preach, they'd just drag me out of there. Start handing out tracts, and they'll drag me away. This is private property. And you're like, Jesus looked over that crowd of people in Jerusalem, and he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And I see a lot of lost people today. As a matter of fact, we are so inundated by the television, we see so many things that we become numb. We don't realize the people we're looking at are lost. What else do you see, Pastor? I see a lot of problems. I'm involved in RU. I can tell you there are a lot of addictions out there, and they're not all drink, and they're not all heroin. There are an incredible number of addictions that are growing. There is so much confusion out there. Poor Jennifer went over and was really nice to two ladies that sat over there this afternoon, and she was telling about church, and this other woman just nearly bit her head off. So you believe Jesus is God? This is Joel's witness. So I came over and kind of bit back, amen? But that woman's just as confused anyway. There's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of people have given up on any type of God. There are a lot of religions out there, a lot of philosophies, a lot of apathy. They say that there is a suicide corridor from Ballincollig up through Blarney. Isn't that a shame? I want to cut off this part of the suicide corridor at least. Amen? I mean, honestly, there are so many problems. There is so little Bible influence. You look around and you say, where is the Bible's influence? Used to be 50 years ago, there's a lot of morality. There were things that you could point to that the fear of God still influenced people. It's not here now. We don't live in a Christian ethos. We live in a pagan world. There's so little Bible influence. So few people getting saved. Amen. I'm glad for everyone that's saved. Every one of you here this tonight are miracles. I'm a miracle. Honestly, compared to the growth rate of this world's population, so few getting saved and so few growing. There is such an aggressive attack against anything that's moral. If you're married, everything, all hell is breaking loose to tear you apart. If you have any control of saying, my kids aren't going to watch that. You know, Sarah has never watched Harry Potter. I've never watched Harry Potter. I just call him Harry Potty. I don't know what he is. I've never seen a Lady Gaga concert. That's called separation. And the world will just tear into anybody that says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get caught up in every, oh, I've seen it. Oh, and folks, listen, if you have any standards and you say, you know what, this is how we're going to dress. This is what we're going to look like on a Sunday. This is how we're going to conduct ourselves. We're not going to talk to somebody who's older than us. Yeah, what's your name? What's up? We're going to talk. See, we have standards. We have expectations. You say, I hate expectations. No wonder you're a failure. We need some standards that we have of our Christianity. And the world has such an aggressive attack on anybody that has any kind of standard and any type of conviction. And as a pastor, I see it. I see it among Christians. Christians, here's one Christian who attempts to have some controls over their life, some decisions on their life, and everybody else tears them apart. The most intolerant people today now are Christians who are backslidden, and they don't want anybody being different than them. Obviously, and I'm firmly convinced that this area right here needs this church right here to be strong. Cork and Ballincollig does not need us to disappear. They may want us to, but they need us more than ever. The course ahead is this. I can't do more. Anybody who wants to come with me and go with me for my 6 days a week, I'll show you how much I do, and I can't do any more. So don't say, well, Pastor, just do a little more. No. If you want your pastor to have any sanity left, don't think that, well, I think you can do a little bit more. No. But this body of believers can. Go to Ezra chapter 4. I love this verse. Ezra, right before Job. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 3. This body of believers as a body can do more. Ezra chapter 4 and verse 3. It's in the Old Testament, just before it is before. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job is how it works. And then Psalms. Ezra 4 and verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them who were, there were some people who were mocking them, saying that the temple that they were rebuilding was a joke and it wasn't going to work. And these guys said back unto them, and they actually said, we'll help you. No, they weren't. They were going to cause a problem. But Ezra and these guys said, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. They decided, we don't need government help. We don't need tax help. We don't need entitlements. We don't need government funds. We don't need government programs. We can do it ourselves. This church can do whatever God asks us to do. And He's never going to ask us to do what we can't do. So this body of believers can, and we need to develop our faith so we can trust God for greater things. John 14:12 says this. And he's praising and he's thinking. He says, you guys believe, but you know, after I resurrect and I go away, you're going to do greater works than you've ever imagined. And I want to do that. I want to see that happen among God's people. Now we have to develop every Christian's life. That's why we have discipleship. That's why we have CBI training. But one of the things that I'm so burdened about is having every person in our church involved in some ministry, because it makes strong Christians out of everybody that's involved. You never know. Mona just getting involved in mission has transformed her life. She'll tell you that. It has been such a thrill watching her she just loves it and eats it up, and she connects with our missionaries. She loves our missionaries like so few people are able to, because she's in the ministry. Folks, you saw this morning, this Westgate has their own things going on, and as long as we've been here 10 years, they just shove us over to the corner. And they packed us in here, and we need a building. That's what we have to have. How many do we have this morning? Did we count? Anybody get a final count, Tony? All right, it was easily 120 people in here. The course ahead is we have to purchase it. Well, we can't buy QMV. Well, you know, I'm going to look back at the wall fab. I'm just going to have to find what God wants us to do, and I think we just need to do it because we need our own building. I'm kind of itching, amen. It's something we have to have. And we have to turn our world upside down. I'm sick and tired of the world ruining people. I'd like to save some people. So this whole world is collapsing around us. Let's see if we can transform. And how are we going to do it? How are we going to impact our world, turn the world upside down? Two words. You ready? Say it with me. By faith. Huh. By faith. This picture says it all. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It's sort of a... Now, these parentheses are actually... I know you guys call them brackets. These are actually in your text. It is stuck in there to stop us and to make us realize everything we do, stop, we do it by faith, not by sight. Everything we do, stop, we do it by faith, not by sight. It's a powerful, powerful challenge. You notice the upward climb? Do you see that there are steps that every one of us have to take? Those are well-worn steps. What God is asking us to do, He's never asked other Christians to not do. We're not the first to have to try to buy a building. We're not the first to have to deal with these problems. The steps that God asks us to do, all Christians have had to do. They are well-worn steps. And can anybody see the top? Can anybody see where we're going? Anybody see what's going to happen? No. I just got enough light, I've got enough view to keep me busy for the next year. All right? But I know that we've got to take each step that God has laid out before us, whatever it is. Now, the truth is, folks, the truth is this. There are a lot of things I can't figure out. Like, why haven't we been able to get into a building yet? And why haven't we... We've been trying to buy a building for years. Don't get me started. A lot of things I can't figure out, like why there are some folks who are having hard health problems. If there's one thing that my heart sometimes just gets aching about, is that God, there's people that carry heavy health burdens. Why? I want everybody to be healthy. I want the problems outside. I don't want any problems in here, but they're here. I know they are. I know one of the things I can't figure out is why some people in our church won't get saved. They will come and they sit here. They're usually sitting on the back rows, by the way. Dan, I just get so frustrated watching, sitting back there, laughing during the preaching. And I go, why won't they get saved? I don't have that answer. I'm glad they're here. But it frustrates me. Some things I can't figure out. Can't understand why more young men aren't responding to God's call to preach. I can't understand when I got saved and somebody got up and showed me one picture of Brazil and showed me the people there with huge poles sticking through their nose and their ears with huge holes in them. And they said, these guys are lost. They've never heard about Jesus Christ. My heart just sunk and I said, who's going to go? And the Lord said, what about you? Then I saw somebody else in Kenya, and I saw again the holes all over the body, the piercings, the cuttings, and the destruction of their lives, and how they would cut themselves as they released the demons out of their bodies. And I just said, Lord, who's going to go? And the Lord slowly was impressing upon my heart, how about you? And I remember through that missions conference, all I heard was, at that point, 4.5 billion people lost and on their way to hell. I wonder, doesn't anybody else care? Am I one of the few that sort of just went, I'm available. I can't understand it. I don't know. I'm not. Maybe I can. If I could put a guilt trip on you, I would. Yeah. Because there are people. You know what's funny? There are people down in Cork that have huge holes in their ears. Yeah. There are people in Cork and in Ballincollig that have piercings through their skin all over their body. They are demon possessed. They are hell bound. The piercings don't damn them. It just shows that they are damned. Shows that they are completely dominated by a desire for pain. I'm glad I'm here. But this, we need some more workers. There are things I can't understand. I can't understand why there are a lot of families in this church that don't make enough time for God. How come on Sunday morning, we'll have 120 people. And I'm glad for the 50 that come on Sunday night, but there ought to be at least 100 here on Sunday night. Amen. And I know why some people can't make it. I understand all that, kids and so on and so forth. But you know, the things I can't figure out or balance out the fact that I still can believe God.
I still can trust God. You know, somebody has to say this, but you know, whether you believe God or not, whether you trust God or not, I'm going to. Amen? And I think we'll have a whole lot more fun if all of us just said, let's believe God together. And I can do whatever God asks me to do. I'm not going to do what God asks you to do. I may have to make up for you. But I'm going to ask that you do whatever God asks you to do. You know what Jesus, listen to this. Mark 9, Jesus said unto him, to a man, his child was dying. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I like this. Help my unbelief. I think that's going to be our prayer this year, all year long. Lord, I'm trying to believe, but my unbelief outweighs my belief. Help my unbelief. Now, to walk by faith, to live by faith, these are some of the things that God's impressed on my heart. I've looked at lots of different things, but I can't tell how we need to walk by faith more. We're going to have to learn the necessity of faith, not intelligence. The faithfulness of God. You know how to stir up your faith? Learn about how faithful God is. How dependable He is. He's the only reason why we can believe at all. We're going to learn how to work by faith, how to wait by faith, how to love by faith, how to bless your family by faith, how to give by faith. There are some times where you don't have the money and you go ahead and give anyway. Amen. And all of a sudden you reach in your pocket and there's more to give. How to soul win by faith, not by smarts. I mean, it's very important to have some answers, but you know, most of the time, you're going to go, I'll get back to you. How to pray in faith. How to grow old. You know, you have Leo, you listening? Dennis? How to grow old by faith. I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that. But how to grow old by faith. They're an example to this generation, to the next generation, how to grow old by faith. We need it. Because there's hospital beds. There's nursing homes ahead of all of us. If the wrath doesn't occur. How do you get ready for that without becoming a bear? Bitter and angry. How to die by faith. You know, my Bible says, these all died in faith. I want to be like that. How to get saved by faith. I think all of us got saved by faith. How to be changed by faith. How to contend for the faith. There are different levels of faith. We call it maturity. Learning the Bible by faith. You're never going to learn this book until you mix it with faith. Somebody says, you understand what that says in Revelation? No, but I believe it. That's how I learned it. I mean, right now, Joel, I'm discipling Joel, but my son, Joel, over in Arkansas, and I started discipleship, Graham, but we got started in discipleship, now it's all questions about Revelation. He says, what's this? And when's the rapture? And all this. Isn't it funny how everybody's the same? And I'm like, Joel, I think I got this, and let's get back to discipleship. But listen, you learn this Bible by faith. You live debt-free by faith. Minister by faith. Every one of these leaders and these people who've gotten up and spoken, they did this all by faith. They're helping out, just doing it all for the Lord by faith. How to worship by faith. Make decisions by faith. How to rejoice. Somebody said, when God's got the door closed and you don't know what to do, praise Him in the hallway. Now, that'll come to you at some point where you just realize, I'm not where I think I ought to be. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm just going to praise God right here. That's praising and rejoicing by faith. We're going to learn how to increase our faith, how to overcome problems with faith. Does faith have any problems? Oh, you better believe it. Who's the focus of our faith? Looking unto Jesus Christ. We're going to learn how to focus our faith so that we don't see all the problems, but we just look unto Him. We're going to learn how to finish our faith. I mean, you know, aren't you glad that faith is one day going to become sight? And we're going to look at some little known examples of faith. And that's just 26 weeks. That's just 26 Sundays. We haven't even, that's just half of the year. We're going to compare how we normally do those things. How do we normally do them? By sight. But we walk by faith. Not by sight. One heart, one vision. A real church has only one heart and only one vision. Can you imagine if Dan got up and said, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going to take all these people and we're going to go and you'll see us in a few months. We're all going to do the nursing home ministry, and we'll be back after a little while. No. Every ministry and everything we do is one heart, one vision. We're doing it together. By the way, it's not just my vision. It needs to be yours, and yours, and yours, and yours, and yours. You need to go out of this room and see lost souls. You need to go out of this room and see insurmountable problems. It will take a miracle to get fixed and restored. We need to have the same vision, the same heart of our Lord. Let's learn to believe God again. Let's all learn to believe God. Paul is sitting in a ship. I think Luke is with him. But he speaks as if he's the only one there, and the ship is sinking, and he says, "Guys, it's going to be okay. Be of good cheer. I believe God." Let's have that type of attitude where we learn how to believe God together, where we all learn to choose to believe God over everything else. You get your notice that you're not going to be working next week or for the next. You're being let go. I choose to believe God. We get a notice that we're not going to be allowed to purchase the Q&D building because they're doing their own thing. We choose to believe God. We need to enjoy God's will. As a church, I don't want anybody ever being disappointed by their Christianity. It's not working out like I wanted. Listen, let's put you on a rack upside down. Let's see if you really complain then. Let's see if we can just say, you know, Lord, your will is perfect. Let's see where faith takes us. I wonder where it's going to take us. I wonder where we're going to be a year from now. I think of Martin. Weston, you remember those days long ago. Let's see, Martin and I, when there was just 3, 4, 5 of us, we set up the old TA hall. We put out the chairs. We mopped the floor. We swept. We mopped. And we prepared every Saturday night. We would move from chair to chair, remember? And we would pray in each chair. We'd say, God, fill this chair with a hungry heart. And we move to the next chair. And we pray through that whole building. Where's faith taking us? Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty nice ride, isn't it, Brother Martin? I mean, it's been ups and downs and lefts and rights. God just says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. I would have rather infinite different directions. But the Lord knows where He's taken us, and we just need to see where God takes us. Let's sing What Faith Does. John, if I could get you, and we'll be through.